Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2 as we are on part 3 of a series that we're calling Christmas Classics. And we've been taking the classical songs that we sing at Christmas and pulling out timeless truths from the Bible and applying them to our lives during this holiday season. In the first week, we talked about a silent night, about having inner peace, having peace in our lives. How can we have contentment and calmness and tranquility in our lives, even though the world around us might be falling apart? Last week, we talked about a white Christmas, experiencing God's love, and then even on top of that, giving away God's love so that those around us can have a white, perfect, awesome Christmas. And today, we're featuring Joy to the World, and a major part of the Christmas story is that God was fired up about the birth of his son. He was excited about it. And if you go back to the Christmas story and you look at the backdrop, the Jewish people, the Jewish nation at the time, were miserable. They were under Roman control. They were not free. They were heavily taxed. They were treated like slaves. They're not a sovereign nation. They're not happy. And so that's the oppressive attitude and environment that was in the nation when Jesus was born. Okay, that's the environment. Very oppressive, very dark, very gloomy. And take a look in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you,'" say it together with me, "'good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" The coming of the Christmas message was about great joy. Not a little bit of joy, but great joy. And friends, that's what Jesus is all about. God wants us to have Christ and to have joy and to have it abundantly, to have unspeakable joy in our lives. Joy is a central part of the Christian message. In the Old Testament, the word for joy means gladness. The word for joy in the New Testament means to be full of cheer, to be calmly happy. It's a mingling of being at peace and rest, but you're happy. There's this delight, this gladness, this cheerfulness in us. And that is to be a hallmark of a Christian, is that we are to have joy. That's what the message is about. We are to have joy. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 and 4, it says, "To everything there is a reason, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to laugh." How many of you would say, "I need more laughter in my life? I need more joy in my life"? We have to intentionally inject joy and laughter in our lives. I know I need more joy in my life. Joy does three things for you. Take a look in your notes this morning. Three reasons you and I need joy in our lives. The first reason is that joy will change my approach to life. Joy will change my approach to life. Nehemiah chapter 8 says, verse 10 says, "The joy of the Lord is your weakness." Strength. No, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy empowers you. When you're down in the dumps, when you're not feeling well, when you're discouraged, and you don't really want to go on, if you inject joy, it energizes you. Joy changes how you approach life. If you have joy, I guarantee you will approach your marriage differently than if you're bummed out. If you have joy, it will change how you approach your kids. It will change how you approach your job. It will change how you approach school. If you have joy, it makes a difference in how you act and how you behave. It can change your approach to life. The second reason joy is so important is joy will turn my problems into blessings. Joy turns our problems into blessings. You can literally reverse a bad situation. I don't know how many times I've heard about someone that had like a fatally ill disease, and they were given a bad sentence, but the person said, you know what? I am not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to be down. And they had a positive, hope-filled, joyful attitude, and that attitude changed their situation. They did not die. They persisted in living on. It's like what Proverbs says in chapter 17, verse 22, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. You know, scientific studies have shown that laughter is one of the healthiest things we can do. Here's some of the positive effects of laughter. It can reduce stress. It boosts immunoglobulin A, which is an antibody which fights upper respiratory disease. And it boosts killer T cells, which are antibodies that fight infection. So if you laugh, you're fighting infection in your life. And it reduces stress. How many during this cold and flu season say, I need to boost my immune system? All right, laugh then. Oh, some of you got it. You're laughing. If you need a good laugh, go on to YouTube and watch Tim Hawkins, okay? Tim Hawkins will make you laugh. We need more laughter, more joy in our life. Because here's the thing. If I'm walking around down in the dumps like an Eeyore with the rain cloud over my head. How many remember Winnie the Pooh, watching Winnie the Pooh? And there was a rain cloud that went over Eeyore. Wherever he went, there was that rain cloud. Yeah. And if we're walking around like that, and someone looks at us and they say, that's a Christian? That's abundant life? That's victory? That's joy unspeakable and full of glory? I don't want anything to do with it. I believe joy can be one of our greatest witnessing tools. If we have joy, there's an old song that says, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. I said, the world didn't give it to me, and this world can't take it away. This happy face that I'm wearing, you know, my Jesus put it there to stay. The world didn't give it to me. The world can't take it away. Jesus said, I have come to give you joy, joy that the world cannot take from you. But you and I can allow joy to slip away from our life. No one can take our joy. And let's look at the third reason why joy is so important. Joy will affect those around you. In Psalm 126, verse 1, it says, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Friends, these guys were so excited when God brought them back. They're high-fiving in the streets, they're hooping and hollering, and the joy they had carried in nations across the world heard about their joy, and they realized that God had done great things for them. It was a witnessing tool. Joy impacts others and has positive effects. My attitude when I come home from work can impact the joy of my home. I can be a joy stealer or a joy increaser. So the question is, how do we have joy? What is the secret of joy? And there are five steps in your notes. Let's take a look at these this morning. The first secret of joy is to take responsibility for your own emotions. We need to take responsibility for our own emotions. We can never say, well, I was happy until so-and-so came along. I was happy and joyful until my boss, or until my wife, or until my classmate did this to me. Joy is not based upon what people do to us. It's easy for us to try to blame the condition of our heart upon the circumstance around us, upon that person cutting us off, upon the water heater breaking down, upon getting a raise or no raise for the year. It's easy to base our joy upon our happenstances, but friends, that's not right. Now, life can be tough. I agree with you with that. But we have to make sure that our good mood is not dependent on our circumstances. Because there's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness comes from the word happenstance. It's based on your happenings. If your happenings are good, you are happy. If your happenings are bad, you are unhappy. But friends, joy should be a constant state of our lives because joy does not come from what we have or what's going on, but the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy comes from God. It comes from having a focus upon God. It's not circumstantial. And God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is our source of joy, and He will not let us down. This isn't in your notes, but I want you to write this down. Joy is a choice. Joy is a choice. Now, if you're like me, my attitude does not take care of itself. Okay? By nature, I am a naturally pessimistic person. When I walk into a room, I tend to see the one or two things that are out of place instead of everything that is right. That's just the way I am. And so for me, to have joy, I have to really, really work at this. I'm just being honest with you. For me to have joy, I have to purposefully make sure that I am going to choose joy and not let other people or circumstances determine how I feel. And in my prayer time in the morning, I have to say, God, I am giving up control. God, I am choosing to be joyful. I'm choosing not to be down. It has to be our choice. I have to take responsibility. No one can really make me happy except myself. I know people that have millions of dollars and anything that they could want in life, but they're still not joyful. Because joy comes from a condition that is within. Take responsibility for your own emotions. Here's a prayer. All right? If you have trouble with joy, here's a prayer for you. So far today, Lord, I have done all right. I haven't gossiped, lost my temper, been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or self-indulgent. I have not whined, cursed, or eaten any chocolate. However, I'm going to get out of bed in a few minutes, and then I'm going to need a lot of help. I need to say that prayer every morning. This is what Psalm 19:14 says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer." What would happen if we'd say, Lord, here is my tendency, but I am not going to let my emotions be ruled by my circumstances. God, I am going to take responsibility and I'm going to let you govern my life today. The first step in having joy is to take responsibility for our own emotions. Secondly, let's look at the next one. I need to develop a high appreciation for life. To have joy, I have to look at life differently. Now, life can be pretty stinky at times, all right? It's like the story I heard about of this gentleman who was working on his motorcycle on his back patio, and he was revving it up, and all of a sudden, the motorcycle slipped into gear, it took off, and it ran him through the patio glass door into his kitchen. He's all cut up. He's hurt and injured badly. And his wife calls 911, and they come, and he goes to the hospital. He gets bandaged up and everything. And when he comes back home, what he doesn't realize is his wife, when she cleaned everything up, there was gas on the floor. of the kitchen, and she wiped up some paper towels. She didn't want it to be in the kitchen so it would smell, so she went to the toilet, and she threw the gas-soaked paper towels in the toilet. She flushed the toilet, okay? Guy comes home from the hospital. He's had a rough day already. He goes to the bathroom, and he was smoking. He gets done. He flicks the cigarette into the toilet while he's sitting on it. And there's a small explosion. He's burned his backside. They call 911 again. The ambulance crew comes, and they pick him up, and they're putting him on the stretcher, and they're carrying him down the steps, and they say, "What happened?" He tells them the story. They start laughing so hard, they tip him off the stretcher onto the ground, and he breaks his arm. Life can stink sometimes. And I have to admit, if that happened to me, it would be hard to have joy. But you know what we do a lot of times when life goes bad? We look at what went wrong instead of seeing all the wonderful things we have. How many of you got up this morning and your house was warm? You had heat? How many had nice warm water to take a shower or a bath in? How many of you had good food to eat? Or if you didn't, it was your choice, not because there was nothing in the cupboards or the fridge. How many of you went to the closet saying, "Boy, what should I wear today?" How many had a pair of shoes on their feet? How many of you turned on a radio or a television? You slept in a great bed. You've got family. You've got a tree. You maybe have some presents. You had a car to drive to church in. You have your own Bible that you can be reading right now. It is so easy for us to look at how life is not going the way we want it to go, and we don't look at everything that's going on. We need to take a higher appreciation of life and look at everything we have. There was a woman who was admitted to a nursing home once, and someone said to her, how do you like your room? How do you like it? And she says, it was great. I knew it was going to be great before I came because my happiness is not based on how the furniture is rearranged in the room. It's based on how my mind is rearranged. And so my mental perspective determines if I'm going to have joy. Here's two things. This isn't in your notes, but these are two things that really kill our joy. The first one is covetousness. This isn't in your notes. It's covetousness. What happens is when I see someone else who has something that I don't have, and it's like, man, I wish I got the new car like so-and-so. You know, I wish I had the new dining room furniture that they got for Christmas. I wish, or here, sometimes we do the reverse. How come so-and-so doesn't have all the bad luck that I have? And we covet the things that are not going wrong in their life. We look at someone that has a perfect life and says, why do I struggle so hard? Why is it so bad? And we covet. And covetousness is a sin, and it will steal our joy. The other thing that steals our joy is wanting to be in control of our lives. We're driving and we get a flat tire. Something breaks down. We have a problem. And what happens a lot of times, oh man, we let it affect our emotions and we lose joy. And the whole thing behind it is because we've got a plan. We have an idea of what life should be like. And when that plan is thrown out the window and something bad happens, I'm not in control anymore. And I am realizing, I'm finding, if I can trust God with His sovereignty, as Romans 8:28 says, it's there in your notes, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. If I can have this sense of confidence that God's in control, and that even when my agenda and my plans are messed up, I can still be at peace and not let that affect me, I keep joy in my life. When I want to be in control and not trust God's sovereignty, I lose my joy. So those are two things that will kill joy, and we need to have a higher appreciation of life, a different view. Something goes wrong, I'm going to trust God. When I don't have something someone else has, God knows there's a reason I shouldn't have it. I'm going to be content and not covetous. I'm going to be trusting and not try to be in control. That will help us have joy. Okay, the third secret for having joy is to find something positive in everything. Find something positive in everything. You will probably have to dig for something positive. In North Carolina, there's a few places where gemstones naturally occur, rubies and sapphires and other things. And people will go to these mining places and they'll buy buckets of dirt. And then they'll go over to a long trough with water running through it, and they pour the dirt in kind of this screen, and they will just pan, and they'll let the water wash the dirt away, and they will mine for hours throughout the day looking for a gem. And by the time they're done, you know, they come away, they're just covered in mud because there's been dirt and water, and they're all dirty and filthy. But man, they found that little sapphire, they found that little ruby. And that's really what we have to do in life. If we are going to have joy, we need to find something positive. We need to look for the gem in the dirt. And sometimes, friends, we go through a lot of dirt to find that gem. When bad things happen, be looking for what is the good, what is the ruby, what is the gem that's going to come out of this. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, of a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Focus on something that is positive and good. That's really what spiritual warfare is. Spiritual warfare is focusing on the good, the pure, the godly, things worthy of praise, because the devil, he wants to distract us. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 in the NIV says, "We demolish arguments." Okay? The devil comes to us and he says, "You're never going to be any good. You're never going to make it in life. Your marriage is not going to work out. Things aren't going to be well for you." And we listen to sometimes those lies and we have no hope. And it says, "We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ." I need to take control of my thoughts and not let my thoughts run wild with me, but I need to have them line up with God, His Word, and find something positive as I'm going through the dirt in life. How many of you have went through some dirt lately? Yeah, it's part of life. I want to encourage you, if you're going through some dirt right now, there is a gem in there somewhere. Don't quit looking. Never give up. There is a reason. All things work together for good. You will come out on the other side eventually, and you will understand why. And if you don't, you may have to wait till heaven, but there is something good happening to you today. In fact, some of you need to hear that. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, "Something good's happening to you right now." Say that to your neighbor. Okay, let's recap. If you want a joy-filled Christmas, what's the first thing we need to do? Take responsibility for your emotions, all right? What's number two? Develop a high appreciation of life. Number three was what? Find something positive in everything. Here's number four. The fourth secret is say something positive in every conversation. Say something positive. Not just find something, but say something positive. Let what you're now thinking, this positive thing, get into your mouth. Decide, as Ephesians says, to let no unwholesome talk proceed out of our mouth. Our problem is that when people hurt us, we have more fun laying out verbal missiles and retaliating back. We have more fun to have revenge. But that's not the way to joy, because that just spreads poison in your life. This is what Proverbs 16:4 says, or 24, excuse me. Pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words are sweetness to your soul. So what the converse is that unpleasant words are like bitterness to your soul. We need to have positive, sweet, pleasant words coming out of our life. Psalm 141:3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. We need to decide that nothing bad is going to come out of our mouths. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. These are some great verses. If we could live by this, we would really, it would help us in speaking positive. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. I need to have a place where I'm not going to take my rights. I'm not going to retaliate. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to put their needs above mine. I'm going to esteem them higher than myself, and I am going to be pleasant and kind, because if I have that, it'll be sweetness to my soul and not bitterness. When I engage in negative conversation, it steals all joy and peace from my life. So having pleasant words is the fourth secret. And then the last secret to having a joy-filled Christmas is express gratitude to God and others daily. Express gratitude. Say thank you. We say thank you. Take a look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. The backdrop of this verse is that Paul is sitting in prison. Okay? Now, I don't know about you, but sitting in prison is not on my bucket list. All right? I really don't want to do that. Paul is sitting in prison, and in fact, in verse 4, he starts off by saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He's sitting in prison, and he's saying, hey guys, you need to rejoice all the time. And he's putting that into practice. He's in prison. He goes on to say, let your yieldedness be made known to all people. He's not uptight about this situation he's in. And in verse 6, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Friends, joy does not come from my circumstance. I have to choose to be joyful. Paul is sitting in prison, and he says, I am praying and I'm giving thanks before I see my circumstance change. Having a thankful heart, even if you're going through a time of prison, even if you're dealing with a lot of dirt in your life, will help bring joy to your world this Christmas season. The angel said, I bring you good news of great joy. I want you to think of a joy meter in your life, okay? If there was a meter, and it's 1 to 10, where is that needle at right now on the meter? How high is your joy? The good news is that wherever your joy is at today, you have a choice in how you affect the meter. Joy is not about anything going on outside of me. It has everything to do with what's going on inside of me. Joy is based upon a focus that God is with me and He loves me so much. He sent His Son to die for me, and He's in control of my life, and He cares for me, and I can trust Him, and all things are working together for good. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, let us throw off everything that hinders and this sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out with us. Some of you, you have thinking in your life, you need to throw it off right now. Get rid of those thoughts and begin to focus on Jesus Christ. Psalm 32:11 says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." If you're righteous, if you have a relationship with Christ, then you and I have been commanded by God in Psalm 32 to be joyful. It's not an option, but it's my choice. I'd like everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes this morning.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.